Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, true brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast, number 153. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. Our soul-winning passage from the Word of God today is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, which reads, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Beloved, allow me to share with you some insights regarding this passage of Scripture from the expository notes of Dr. Thomas Constable. The Hebrews referred to lakes as seas, the Sea of Galilee got its name from its district. The Sea of Galilee got its name from its district. Its other name, the Sea of Gennesaret, came from the plain to the northwest of the lake and from a town on that plain. Gennesaret. The name Gennesaret connects to the Hebrew word kinnor, meaning hop. In the Old Testament, this body of water was called the Sea of Kinnereth because of its hop-like shape. Sometimes, in Jesus' day, people referred to the lake as the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias was the Hellenistic city that Herod built on its west-southwest shore. This sea was approximately 12 miles long and 9 miles wide at its longest and broadest points. It supported a thriving fishing industry in Jesus' day, with 9 towns on its western shore, plus others elsewhere. Simon and Andrew had moved from their hometown of Bethsaida, which means fish town, or Capernaum, to Capernaum. Simon's nickname was Peter, Rocky, if you will. Simon was one of the most common names in first century Palestine. The net that Simon and Andrew were casting into the lake was a circular one. It was a common tool of Galilean fishermen fishing for a major industry in Galilee. Fishing was a major industry in Galilee. Jesus' command, not invitation, "Follow me," was a summons to leave their occupations and literally follow Jesus wherever he would take them as his trainees or disciples. The expression "follow me" would be readily understood as implying a call to become the permanent disciple of a teacher. Similarly, it was not only the practice of the rabbis, but regarded as one of the most sacred duties for a master to gather around him a circle of disciples. Thus, neither Peter and Andrew nor the sons of Zebedee could have misunderstood the call of Christ or even regarded it as strange. Etiquette required a rabbi's disciples to walk behind him. The phrase "fishers of men" recalls Jeremiah 16:16. There Yahweh sent fishermen to gather Israelites for the exile. Here Jesus called the fishermen to announce the end of Israel's spiritual exile and to prepare for his messianic reign. Later, after experiencing rejection by Israel, Jesus recommissioned these men for duty in the inter-Advent age. This message appeared on a church marquee, "Be fishers of men." Be fishers of men. You catch 'em, he'll clean 'em. That is the proper order. Evidently, Jesus had called Simon, Andrew, Philip, and Nathanael earlier. Probably they had returned to Galilee and resumed their former work. This would partially explain their quick response to Jesus here. Furthermore, Jesus had changed water into wine in Cana, which was not far away. If the miracle of Luke 5:1-11 occurred the night before this calling, we have another reason they followed Jesus immediately. Matthew's interest was not in why these men responded as they did, but how authoritatively Jesus called them and how they responded. They recognized Jesus' authority and left all to follow him. Disciples of other rabbis normally continued their trades, but Jesus wanted his disciples to be with him full time. Also, in contrast to the rabbinic model, Jesus chose his disciples. Typically, the disciple chose the rabbi he would follow. Furthermore, Jesus called his disciples to follow him, not to follow the law or teaching in abstraction. So, ladies and gentlemen, our soul-winning quote today is from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "But the best argument of all for evangelism is to be found in the wounds of Jesus." You want to honor him? You desire to put many crowns upon his head? And this you can best do by winning souls for him. These are the spoils that he covets. These are the trophies for which he fights. These are the jewels that shall be his best adornment. So, beloved, our soul-winning devotional is part 18 of our series titled "The Master Plan of Evangelism" from Dr. Robert E. Coleman. And he deals with association, still ministering to the masses. One must not overlook that even while Jesus was ministering to others, the disciples were always there with him. Whether he addressed the multitudes that pressed on him, conversed with the scribes and Pharisees who sought to ensnare him, or spoke to some lonely beggar along the road, the disciples were close at hand to observe and to listen. In this manner, Jesus' time was paying double dividends. Without neglecting his regular ministry to those in need, he maintained a constant ministry to his disciples by having them with him. They were thus getting the benefit of everything he said and did to others, plus their own personal explanation and counsel. Soul winning evangelism takes time. Training others to do so takes more time. Such close and constant association, of course, meant that Jesus had virtually no time to call his own. Like little children clamoring for the attention of their father, the disciples were always underfoot of the master. Even the time he took to go apart to keep his personal devotions was subject to interruption at the disciples' need. But Jesus would have it no other way. He wanted to be with them. They were his spiritual children, and the only way that a father can properly raise a family is to be with them. So, beloved, in our next episode, we will look at association, the foundation of follow-up. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together to be reminded of our obligation to obey your great commission and to witness and to tell others about you by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience, and we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winner's fire. God bless you.